Hello, my name is Derek Dunbar and this is Type Radio. Now we're talking.
Type Radio.
Hello, my name is Gert Dunbar. This is Type Radio. Now we're talking.
And so what's the next impossible challenge?
My next impossible challenge is to prove the world that art schools as a building, physical buildings, doesn't exist anymore. It takes a long time, but I'm very motivated. To give you an example, I'm doing now, I think, and my students agree, a very exciting project on graphic design, which deals exactly with the things which I was explaining to you. But I do the project in Iowa City University, at the Hague Royal Academy, in Seoul, Academy in Seoul, and in Shanghai, and École Nationale Supérieure des Arts Décoratifs in Paris. So there are five institutions doing the same project, and it is breathtaking how different the students come with solutions. And that is my next challenge. Due to, I said I am not a person which can handle computers. I'm not interested in it. Also, tomorrow, mind you, my first computer lessons will start at the art school. Because my wife says to me, Gert, I'm not anymore your secretary. You do your own email and that sort of thing. So I'll go there. And besides, I have Derek as well.
You're not going to teach him?
Yes, he does the refinement.
I spend like 2 hours a week on my parents teaching computer. And then they fixing forget. Problems, network is down in the house, and blah blah blah. So, I wonder if he's if it will work.
So I hope you can email me in about a month's time, Lisa. But my next challenge is showing that you don't need to have an art school anymore. It's more a concept of a good plan and solidarity amongst the students and do an exciting project. So that is, but it's a very difficult challenge because it's against the policy of our Ministry of Education and that sort of thing.
But do you think that that is actually possible?
No. Sorry, no, I don't. Not entirely. Maybe you can lower the level of importance of an art school.
But for example, you were a perfect example of always never, you kept being kicked out, for example.
Yeah, but I did, no, yeah, on high school. But then I got, because I was always against doing the same thing your father does, especially because your father is maybe talented or respected by the world and you have to compete against that. But then I thought that's actually the only thing I like, so then I study it and I'm not against any education or thing. I mean, I did two studies, things that I like. But I'm sure that you need that. Otherwise, if you talk about globalization, there will be
no. But I didn't explain well. You have to design, in my classes.
Yes.
You do there's a specific job you design as a student.
Yeah, but then what do you mean about?
And then, at the same time, you know, at four other places in the world, they do the same project.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can become curious and realize how big and fast the world is in visual communication. The Chinese are completely different solving this problem.
Yeah, but is it necessary to analyze that? Or is it maybe it's better to be surprised every time than make a study out of it and analyze it,
I agree with you.
Globalization.
I agree with you. It is the surprise. It is a sort of...
Yeah, but if you make a study out of it and if you do something about it, the surprise will be gone.
No, it is not exactly a study. It is only that I can show to my students, now look, for the same problem, the Chinese come up with this solution. And the guys and the boys and the girls from Paris, the same thing, complete different solutions, and both are a good solution, but visually speaking, totally different.
Well, what do you want to do with that information?
Just wondering, because that's what I tried to explain in the first things. In science, there's only one solution, which is the solution.
Yeah.
In design, there is not one solution, and that makes the profession so extremely exciting. If you look further than only...
But aren't you preaching that students, design students, should be more aware of their cultural heritage, where they're from? And
also they must look up. My projects are always dealing with research. They go through the computer and information. I think you should be aware about how very exciting international the project can be when you use your computer and you have a portal and you are in...
But what would happen if the whole world does that? I mean, you should be, in a way, blessed that you are interested in the other side of the world and how they do things there. But if you're going to... tell the whole world that they have to look further than the borders of their country. In the end, there will be one big same design.
No, I'm not saying they must design one way. I'm only trying to explain, be aware and have respect for a solution which is totally different from the solution you have been taught at your art school. Show respect to other cultures. It's a sort of stupid, socialistic, idealistic 1970s idea.
But which, then what is your next daring project? I don't understand that what you said. What was the question about what's the next thing you want
The next project?
Next Impossible, that was it. What was the next thing? And then you said, I'm going to...
Well, I don't know. You asked me then, what is your next Impossible project?
Yeah. Yeah.
China is the first, yes?
Yeah.
We don't know if it's success. Everything points out that it can be a success. The next, for me personally, the next Impossible project is to make art schools throughout the world aware that they are not self-centered, that there are also other solutions for the same problem. Because, as you know, graphic designers are extremely vain people. You know, they think they are the kings and they are the best solution, blah, blah, blah. But that is also a nice thing. There is not a best solution in our profession, unless you go to another part of our profession, which is advertising, which I hate. I hate advertising, because in advertising you have to prove to your client you get the budget and he must sell more packaging of soap or chocolate boxes. And if he doesn't succeed, he goes to another advertising agency. In our profession, it's far more milder. It's more information. It's far more exciting than...
Is it also not the case that in advertising you get the check at the end of the day, like really soon? They know your design is not successful because we didn't sell more than this much units.
Yeah.
And in design, that's not the case. I mean, the whole effect is not measurable in the same way.
I would like to quote, in this case, Victor Papanek. Victor Papanek was an idealist design educator in America. He came from Czechia. And he has written some very fascinating books on design, which equals the manifesto First Things First. I don't know if you heard about it. Have you heard about it after 200 interviews? First Things First manifesto?
Yeah, and then in 2000 you all...
That one.
Yeah.
He is all into that because First Things First manifesto was by Ken Garland, who was a tutor when I was professor at the Royal College. He was one of my tutors. It's reissued in the year 2000.
Yeah.
And the undersigned, I'm still very conscious about it. And that's the difference between what you try to say. And then I quote Victor Papanek. But it's in a nutshell. Huh? Advertising forces us to buy things we don't need, and graphic design is more about information. but it's very sort
it's
of
very black and white.
Yeah, it's very black and white, but sometimes in a discussion it's nice to talk black and white.
I do want to mention your collection, because we didn't ask you your collection, and we saw some of it on the wall. You collect old Macintosh? Old Apple computers?
Old Apple computers.
Why? You don't want to throw them away?
No. I just... I didn't... Because... Yeah, only Apples. Because... Yeah, I have something with that computer. It was the first computer I ever played a game on. That was the Apple II. And... yeah, still, I don't know why. I'm just fascinated about it. About the whole history of Apple. And it's a cheap hobby. I mean, I cannot afford to collect motorbikes, so people throw them away. And Marktplaats does a good job for me.
So you just found them on Marktplaats and
stuff? Most of them I did, yeah. First one is 1977. I have.
So what did you do before the Mac, before the Apple computer?
Skateboarding. Okay. There was no computer. I think that's...
But you didn't let go. You didn't use the Spectrum or the Sinclair?
No, Sinclair. I had Sinclair.
Okay.
I have a few Sinclairs also, because I always also admire this guy. When I was in my first study, that was the media school in Hilversum, we had this profession that's... what was it called? Well, anyway, it was teaches by this guy. He's called Ad Wisman. Strange guy with a beard. He was allergic for metal, so he couldn't shave himself. And he was... almost called a professional smoker. He couldn't stop smoking. He had to continuously, non-stop smoker in the classroom also. And then, there were people said, hey, you cannot smoke in the school. And then he said, well, I cannot teach you. He couldn't stop. He was just smoking and talking in between. But he was a personal friend of this Sinclair guy. And it was fascinating about the ideas of this Sinclair man. He told always... It was the first one with the flat television. Nobody knows, but he was the first, and he was too early. He was actually too early with the smart. He had this electric bicycle. It's the same concept as the smart now. It's the same idea. First one with electro watch, first one with the digital calculator, and the first one with the good personal computer. But he was the Sinclair. Everybody knows Sinclair. That was a hit. But the rest cost him lots of money. And nowadays, I mean, the flat television... It's just from a few years now, and he
so
had 10 years ago.
So you probably could consider him a hero.
I could consider, in a way. An example of a person that follows his, not a cliche, follows his heart. I mean, that's what he like. Now he was in the position to do it because he was born very rich, this guy, so he could do anything he liked. But this, why do we talk about this? Because my collection, I was he made me aware of this technique things and I also have I collect actually stupid things. I have this gambling machine. It's you can see later it's there. Normal a gambling machine has these rolls rolling and you can win prizes. But there was one day one guy probably woke up and said, "Let's do a thing that's already good for 100 years. Let's make it different." And he made this gambling machine, but then with this. Lights flickering. It's a stupid idea. It looks beautiful, but stupid. And it's only one machine, and it flopped afterwards. But mm-hmm. I like to collect those things. There's also this little translation machine of Philips. They made a very expensive translation machine. Yeah. It was about 800 guilders, and you could buy these chips in Dutch, German, French, and it couldn't translate the word fuck. That's the first thing you try, but it couldn't. It was and there were just standard sentences like. Where can I buy coffee or whatever, or have a good day? And you can translate that in all the languages. So handy if you take it on holiday, but nobody bought it because it's a stupid thing. But there was a person who made it, and that's fascinating. And that's the same feeling I have with Apple. Mm. Yeah, Steve Jobs just started. He started a business with illegal phone boxes. Nobody knows that, but he started to sell phone boxes. You could go into a phone box and you put that against the horn, and you could call for free. Mm. That's what he started, and then he started with the computers, and he got rid of the other business, of course. No, and he just did what he wants. And then I can tell you for hours about this. But 1997, he got kicked out of Apple, and he said that was in the Stanford lecture. He said that was the worst time of my life. I thought, but actually, it was the best time of my life. He said because then I was in the I had the possibility to start over again. I could do anything I want. I could just be creative again. And then he started Pixar Animation, which he last week sold for $7.5 billion to Disney. And that's a way of thinking that I like. Just do what you want. And that's why I collect Apple computers, because that's I think the main reason I'm fascinated about the computer.
Are you doing what you want?
I think I have a lot of discussions at home about it. And I still don't know. I mean, I'm not unhappy, so I think, but there are so many. I want to design a good computer game. I have some really weird inventions in my head I still want to do. I like graphic design, I like video, I like sound. There are so many things that I like. Actually, a very good friend of mine, Michel, he was an elevator repairman, he's in the electric business. He came up one day with me, he said, I have a system to beat the casino. And I said, nobody can beat the casino because there are a lot of people smarter than you and it's still there. But then he showed me, and in the end it will not work, I think. But I like the idea so much that now these days I'm making a computer game to calculate it, and I'm really designing it, and all the aspects, even the sound, comes in one project, and that's what I really like. And if I could do these kind of things for the rest of my life, I would be very happy. It's like a profession that's a multi-professional profession, probably, if you can say it like that. It's not finished, the casino game, but if it's finished, you will know.
And that would be called cheating?
No, it's called ripping off.
Ripping off.
And I love to rip off people that rip off people. I mean, if you think about it.
It's the electronic Robin Hood.
Yeah, maybe.
In a way.
But a part of the money that comes in the casino is being used for people who are addicted to gambling. I mean, sorry, but that's such a weird thought, I think. But it's officially, it's true. So the state casino uses their money to help people stop gambling.
The whole concept that the Dutch government is actually sponsoring casinos is so weird.
Coming back to the tax system.
No, but it's...
But they do say thank you.
Yeah, if you tip them in the casino. No, but there is this Nevada guy, this big, what's his guy?
Yeah, who started...
He wants to start casinos in Holland. And there is in Limburg, I think, somewhere. In Maastricht.
Yeah, probably.
And they really want to have him there because he's going to, generate jobs, about 3,000 or something.
Invest a lot of money.
Yeah, but luckily the government say no, because I don't think that's a good thing. It's good that we have some control of things in Holland. You should not.
Oh, so the. Oh, okay, I understood. They're not.
Yeah.
They're,
Vegas is full.
No, sorry, ladies and gentlemen. We have to go back to the Dutch tax system. Our casinos are all owned by our government. Simply.
Not the ones in the Wagenstraat and the Waldorfstraat and the Boekestraat.
No, they are illegal. But the legal ones, the ones who make these tremendous profits. It is a thing to gain back the illegal money.
Okay.
Simple as that. And what we call the black money. So finally, the government or our tax system gains back the black money. If I cheat my tax revenue guy, I go to the casino and I play all my sort of black money, goes back in the pocket of the government. So simple as that. That is Holland.
So that's how we go back to number one, because every casino says casino number one in Holland.
Yes.
That was bet number one. That is the number. That's
the number one. You can go send it to number one, or you can go to the casino. In both cases, it comes to the back to the government.
No, and it's also, seriously, it's a bit of a romantic, I think, boy's dream. It's also, when I was young, I had this metal detector, always looking for treasures and things. It's a sort of romantic thing to be in the ability to maybe find a treasure, or maybe you should. I don't think you should. I mean, of course, you play the lottery, but you shouldn't win it, because if you win it, you don't.
You're lost.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that, but the dreams are gone, I think. Because why should you make a game that you can rip off the casino? And why should you? Because you have all the money. Ootje Oxenaar always says, he's a nice guy, designed the money. And I always let him sign bank notes from my friends. And he always wrote on it, money is the root of all evil. And then we had this conversation about it, because he loves to talk for hours. So, but it is true, in a way, I think.
So Gert, are you going to sing us the song?
Yeah, oh yeah, yes, yes.
No.
Just to end it. Just to round it up. The song. You've written a song.
Yes, yes. Well, some lyrics, yes.
Now I will be very ashamed.
Yeah, this is typical. This is the same like.
And maybe my son will be ashamed for me.
He's not wearing a horse's outfit, so it's like no. He's not. He's wearing all his clothes also.
Oh, okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here comes the song which I specially composed, 10 minutes time, for Radio Type. It says follows.
Type Radio.
Type Radio. I like type, but not the modern hype. So I'm more a lover of historical faces, like Grotesque or Garamond, Times New Roman, Bodoni, and so on, but never, never Helvetikon.
Thank you. Thank you very much for this conversation.
Okay. Thank you.
Success.
All Type Radio interviews and podcasts may be downloaded for personal use only and may not be used in any other way by third parties except with prior written consent from Type Radio.
Typeradio.org